Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, for some time now, we have been speaking about how to power your life by the grace of God. That is, I say this again and again, God has never expected that you would do great things in life by your own effort, but that God says that you will walk by his efforts. Now, when God's power is working on your behalf, we say the grace of God is being shown to you. We have explained that grace is not just something that is a passive thing that brings good to you once in a while, but that it's an active force that God sends to work on your behalf. I explained that God has given everybody a gift, and that is because he has given everybody an assignment. That there is something in this life that God expects you to do. There is something that God gave you a body for. Jesus said, "A body you have prepared for me." So we said that in doing that, God has given you a gift. David said like this, that I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. That is, God did weave my inward parts. That is, God did something, set a certain structure in my life to make some things easy for me to do. And Paul said this like this, that everybody has a gift according to the grace that is given. Some teach easily, some exhort easily, some lead easily, some serve easily. There are different things that they know how to do, but each person should exercise his walk in his faith, the Bible says, accordingly. That is, you should recognize where things are easy for you, and that you should use that to serve other people. And we established last time that it's in serving other people that God considers you faithful before he gives you a ministry. I was saying something last time, I didn't complete saying it. That, you know, people oftentimes come and ask, what is my calling? What is my calling in life? That is not a very necessary question if you understand certain principles. That you have the gift, and God presents the opportunities to use your gift. That is all. I like what Ken Hagin said then. He said that for him, how did he begin to preach? Everywhere he found an opportunity, he just stepped into it. That is, if they open a door, a crack, he pushes his foot into it. What was he trying to say there? That is, anywhere he saw the opportunity, he just volunteered to do it. Are you getting my point? That in fact, he used to volunteer to do virtually everything. What I'm trying to say is that when you have a gift, when you have something that you can do, God gives you the opportunities to exercise that. That's why Paul said in the New American Standard of that Romans chapter 12, he said, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. That is, it's your responsibility. That's what he's saying, to exercise your gift. That is, you look for the opportunities to use them. I gave examples last week. If you're very good with decorating, stop waiting for somebody to give you a big contract on decorating a big company. Your friend is getting married, save her some money, go and decorate the hall free of charge. Your friend just rented a flat, save the person some money, help decorate it, offer your services for free. That is what it means to exercise your gift. Do you understand my point? As a person, what I used to do was to gladly accept any invitation in which I'm called to preach. Everywhere I gather with people, and then there is an opportunity to share the word of God, I don't let it pass me by. It is called exercising your gift accordingly. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we said last week that when you do that, God will find you faithful and then commit to you a ministry. In that situation, you are doing the same thing you always knew to do. You are using the same efforts that you used in the past that nobody recognized you or nobody gave you anything for it. But God now amplifies it. Now you will do the same job of decorating, and it will now turn out that you've decorated the wedding of a very wealthy person, and the person decides that the value of your job is ½ a million naira. And then they say, can you believe it? There's so much money in decoration. Meanwhile, that is not the reality. What is happening is that God has just decided that it is time to give something to you. Do you understand my point? The time that you preached and nobody gave you a dime, one day you will preach and somebody will decide that he's been so blessed, and since he's a billionaire, God has instructed him to give you a millionaire. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. It is not as if there is money in this thing. It is just that God says, I have found you faithful. Now I'm giving you something back for your faithfulness. You are getting my point. Our example last week, you remember, was Joseph, who used the same effort in the house of Potiphar that he used in prison, and that lifted him up to being the prime minister of Egypt. And I personally believe that it was that same effort and method he was using, but God was now amplifying his work. Do you get my point? The same message as a preacher that you preach to nobody. And I used to do that a lot. When I had no audience, if I tell my wife then that, of course, after I met my wife, especially after we got married, she became my audience. She had to hear every revelation I had to preach. Do you understand what I'm saying? But even before then, who did I used to preach to? I used to preach literally to the field. That is, I would take a stroll and preach literally to the grass. They would have to hear me by force. They couldn't run away. Do you understand? I'm sure there's demons that didn't used to go to certain areas because they are afraid I will be preaching if they come around there. And the word might injure them. Now, I'm just saying that by the way. Now, things like this happen. That is, at that time, you're just exercising your gift. That's what Paul said. Exercise that gift. Please don't fall into the trap of Satan that lures people with three things. The Bible says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They want to do something that everybody will recognize. Do you understand my point? Maybe you have watched T.D. Jakes and he appears like T.D. Jakes as a preacher. He's a very effective preacher. So you go and learn the mannerisms of T.D. Jakes. It is not necessary. Do you understand my point? Your friends had a business and you find that this business is making a lot of money. So you too, you want to go and do it. Yet for you, it is a struggle. Yeah, as another example, you find people working in places. Now, they work in banks, they earn a lot of money. They work in telecom companies, they get a lot of money. You have no idea of what telecommunication is about. You don't know what they are doing there. You don't even love the company. You don't even love the job. What you like to do is to design clothes for people. But because that one seems to have more glory in it, maybe as a young man especially, if you are a man, you say that, no, that's a job for women. But the gift inside you is to craft clothes for people and make them exceedingly beautiful, which actually is part of God's plan. God loves people to look good. Look, when he was going to design the clothes of Aaron, he told Moses, he said, "These clothes will be designed for beauty and for glory." Do you follow my point? Now, so God may have gifted somebody to do things like that, but he says, no, I want to do what everybody else is doing. So he has fallen into the trap of Satan. He has departed away from the position of his strength and therefore moves towards his weaknesses and becomes exposed to all the attacks of Satan. But you see, that is not God's plan for us. God's plan for us is that we have a gift, we exercise the gift accordingly, and then God will pour a great grace upon that gift when he has found us faithful. And then great things will begin to move by our hands. Remember, we started by saying that in life, your assignment is to be a blessing to somebody. Life is an assignment for you. It is something that you must fulfill, something that you must do. You understand that point? Those are among the things that we have been saying, just that I cannot say them enough. They are so important. Now, before I leave today, what I want to leave with us is a particular set of principles that I've called the four ingredients for success. That is, it's as if you are cooking and you have to put these things together to have your soup come out very tasty in success. Please don't forget, what we are doing is we are trying to learn how to tap into the grace of God. That the grace of God is that which makes our walk in life effectual without us putting in too much effort. Everything you do or achieve in life requires energy. Let me emphasize that. Everything you do or achieve in life will require energy. Now, the difference now is whether you are using your energy to achieve results or you are using the energy of God. What is grace? Grace is when the effects of your life, the effects of your ministry, the effects of the things you are doing on this earth are being brought to be by the power or the energy of God. Then we say it is grace. There's a reason why I'm saying this. If you use your own energy, you are converting your own energy to results. Eventually, it will become depleted. Do you understand my point? So the man has gotten results, but now he's 40 years old and is seriously hypertensive. By the time he's 45, he's already had a stroke. Yes, he got results, but now he has a stroke. That is, he has achieved at the expense of his life. Because you see, if you read through the scriptures, the soul, life of a man is actually like a force inside him. It can be converted to things. Incidentally, you can convert your soul, all right, to money. There's a long and twisted method for doing it. But what will happen is that what you are taking from inside you and converting to material possession, all right, eventually, where you are taking it from, we finish. So you make money by the time you're 40, you are dead by the time you're 45. You understand the principle? But there is what the Bible calls the blessing of God that makes rich and does not add sorrow with it. That is, a man rejoices in the labor of his hands and says it is good. The Bible says it is a gift of God. That is, God must have given him something that makes him survive the experience of laboring, makes him witness the fruits thereof, and give him the ability to enjoy it. And that's what we are calling grace. That is, if I use the energy as a preacher, for example, to bless a million people that I will have used to bless only 4 people. Do you understand? Then you can know for sure I will live long. And that is, I will not wear myself out because I am not struggling to bless the multitude. I have just done the faithful work that God has given me, and God is now amplifying it. That is, it is God's energy that I'm using, not my own soul energy. But I'm using my soul energy to maintain my relationship with God, which is actually producing for me a continual renewal of my spirit. You get my point? And it is God that doeth the work. That's what Jesus meant when he said that, I do nothing of myself. As I hear, so I speak, then the Father does the work. Are you getting the point I'm making here? That is, what Jesus was saying in effect is that I'm using my energy to hear God. I'm using my energy to maintain my relationship with God. God is renewing a spirit inside me. When I hear what God has said, I now declare that thing, and then God does the work. So if you find a million people get healed under the ministry of Jesus Christ, he doesn't get tired. Do you understand my point? He really doesn't get tired. What is happening is that he's having a constant renewal. When a woman touches him and she's healed of her plague because she touched his garment, and he said, virtue departed from me. What he's saying in effect is that I have a constant communication with God, a constant connection. It is the power of God that has moved through me to heal that lady. I'm still just, as I was at the beginning. That is what it means to have the grace of God working in you. Now, this thing, please, I may be saying not giving these examples, maybe because I'm a preacher, but it happens also in every sphere of life. A man becomes a businessman. The same energy he used to buy materials of 10,000 naira and trade them for profit. God said, if my grace is working for him, he will use that same energy to run a business that is worth $10 billion. All right? Make a lot of profit. And yet he's not sweating more than he sweated when it was just 10,000 that he was dealing with. Then the man will say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his power working towards me did not prove in that I did more business than all of them. It is not I that was doing the business. It was the grace of God working with me. Do you understand my point? A man wants to run a school or he starts teaching a class. Before that, he was teaching lessons house to house, one child at a time. God said, the same energy you used to teach each child, you will use that same energy. You will stand in a class of 500 and everybody will understand you. That is, it is not you that is laboring. It is God that is working with you. The grace of God. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. So it's so important, really, listen, if you want to live long in life and enjoy your life, that you have the grace of God working on your behalf. Please, if you did not listen to the series we did then, which we called Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures, I would recommend that you try and get the messages. All right? Because listening to that and then the things I'm about to say now, you tie everything together, I believe that your life will really, really be blessed. So I said that there are 4 points I want to put together here before we go. I just give you a list of them and I begin to explain them. I said the 4 ingredients for success in life. That is, this using these things, you will find out that you are tapping into the grace of God. I said 1 is prayer. 2, there is prophecy. 3, there is a seed. And 4, there is rest. I have 4 things listed there. Prayer, prophecy, seed, and rest. Now, having listed these 4 things, I want to begin to develop them one by one. Please don't forget, just like I said, when we're talking about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures, the Bible says that there is a proper order for everything. I am talking to and teaching those who are willing to receive good of the hand of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That they are not trying to use their own energy or that of Satan to get something, but they are ready to wait for God to bless them. And these are the ways by which God blesses people. Now, I said 1, there is prayer. Now, this thing is very important. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, there's a reason why I read this scripture. I want to explain something to us about prayer. Now, a lot of times, people pray when they are desperate. You know what I mean by desperate? That is, we only remember God when there is nowhere else to go. But let me say that that is not what God loves us to do in the matter of prayer. Not at all. That's not God's plan. God doesn't want us to fail first and then turn to him. Listen to me. Though if we did that, he's still willing to help. But that is not his plan. Actually, what happens under such circumstances is that God allows your failure all right, or your problems to teach you that you should come to God. Do you understand? But really, what God wants is that we recognize that it is God that will give us anything that we are looking for in life. There was something that Moses said to the children of Israel. He said, God made you hungry and then fed you with manna. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, so that you will know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. Now, there's something I want to bring out from there. Moses was telling them, in effect, that what is bread? In simple terms, contemporary terms, what Moses was calling bread is material things that a man can depend on. You have an excellent university degree. You have good connection. Your father knows everybody. Or you are living in a country that the economy is booming. You put all these things together and you expect it to give you success in life. Do you understand my point? That is, you've made your projections based upon the material things that you can see. Now, that is what is called bread. Now, Moses was saying, in effect, some people get success like that. Do you understand? That's why I said man does not live by bread alone. That is, there are people who have used that bread and they have gotten energy. Just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into Babylon, when they were being trained, they said, give us vegetables and water. All right? The head of the unit said, please don't put me in trouble. There are diets that have been constructed by specialists to bring out the best in young people. Do you understand? And the king had commanded that I train you people with that diet. So Daniel now said, look, give us this one and test us for 10 days. Now this is what I'm trying to make. Listen, before that diet was getting results. That was why it was being used. That's what Moses meant when he said, man shall not live by that bread alone. That is, some people will use it and get results. He said, but there is a kind of result that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God gives. That is, though the man doesn't have that bread, but he has ordinary vegetables and water, coupled with the word of God. The word of God riding on that vegetable and water that he has, are you following my point? Brings forth results in his life. So that's what Moses said God was trying to teach people, that they must understand that if you rest in God, you will not be disappointed. That those that hopefully wait for him will not be put to shame. That is, they don't have the material things that other people depend on. I'm talking about prayer. I've not lost track. All right? But you see, prayer is a sign that a man has faith. It is not supposed to be a last-ditch effort. That when nothing else works, we go to come to prayer. We have tried bread and bread has failed. Then we now want to come to God. No. As a child of God, God said in the beginning, verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own bread. You understand what I mean by bread now? Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't say because, you know, I said something the other day, I was preaching somewhere. I said there is an erroneous belief in the minds of Nigerians, a lot of Nigerians, especially young people. They believe that it is easier to prosper in America than it is to prosper in Nigeria. They believe it is easier to prosper maybe in Australia or even South Africa than it is to prosper in Nigeria. That is, they are leaning on their own understanding. So you will see the man sell his father's house while his father is not watching because he wants to buy a visa to America, believing that once he gets there, he will buy another house for his father. What is happening is that he's leaning on his understanding. Now, there's something about the word God, which I have explained in previous types on this broadcast. Now, when you say God, God is not a proper name. Just like you might call me Banky, that is my name. But pastor is not my name. It's a function that I perform in the lives of people. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the same manner, when you say God, God is not a proper name. Nobody gave him a proper name. God is only described by what he does, one, and number two, by his relationship with people. That is why he will say, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. That is, you want to know me? Look at Abraham. And say, Abraham, why did you leave your father's land at the age of 75 to go to a place where you did not know ahead of time? He said, because God said so. He said, Abraham, how come at the age of 100, your wife that was 90, all right, you were 100, your wife was 90, she conceived and she bore a child. He said, it was because God gave us a promise, we believed it, and it came to pass. He said that, okay, when that boy was in his later on in the boy's life as a young man, you took him one day and you were going to kill him.
He said, because God, now, you see, he keeps on describing a relationship he has with somebody that you cannot see. And like Jacob said, God is also called the fear of Isaac. That is, when Isaac was moving, you will see certain things that Isaac was doing that was not in agreement with what everybody else did. Sometimes Isaac will have appeared like a fool. You understand my point? They contend with him over a well, and he leaves the well and walks away. So this guy, can't you stand up and fight for your right? He said, God is judge. Are you getting my point? That God has said to me, vengeance is mine, and not only that, I will avenge. So he said, the man will just say that, okay, so when you look at things like that, you know there is somebody that these guys are relating with. That is how you describe God. Now, I'm explaining something here. In life, in your everyday life, there is also a description for God. Who is it that you believe will bring prosperity into your life? Who is it that you believe will sustain your life? Is it a good economy? Because some of us have given America the name God. That is, if you get there is no problem. You see that those who hopefully wait for an American visa will not be put to shame. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Meanwhile, it is not like that. It is those who hopefully wait for God that will not be put to shame. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. So this is the way it works. Prayer is a sign that somebody is hopefully waiting for God. Every time I see news that are not favorable, I see adversity in life, it always does something for me. It drives me back to prayer. Now, you get what I'm going to say? It does not drive me to renew my attitude toward my nation. It does not drive me to renew my attitude towards my faith. It just makes me get back on my knees and begin to declare again that, God, you will never put me to shame. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? That is, I am trusting in God. God, I have boasted publicly about your name. Nobody that waits for you will ever be put to shame. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, a man wants to succeed in life. He wants his life powered by the grace of God, which is the only thing that can take him to the realm of success. The first thing he does is to commit his ways unto the Lord. That's what I'm talking about, prayer. Anything I want to do in life, I pray about it. That, God, if this thing will not succeed by your hand, don't let it succeed at all. Because half success is very dangerous. If a man succeeds halfway by struggling, I said something before, the way you get a result is the way you will sustain it. So you succeed halfway by struggling. What happens again is that you want to struggle some more to keep the success. You are converting your soul to material possession. You won't live long. Therefore, I say, God, if you will not bless me, don't bless me at all. Do you understand? Don't let the work that I struggle for with my own energy prosper halfway. It is too much of an encouragement. I may want to sustain it. Let it fail properly that I may return back to God early. Do you understand what I'm going to say? If you are doing what is wrong and you have already gone far in doing it and you have invested so much, that's not even as bad as when it's now yielding something. Ah, it will appear as if, God, hey, if I leave this in, how will I survive? Let me pray a prayer for you before I go. The job that will not let you fulfill the destiny of God for your life, may you not get it. Do you understand my point? No matter how much you fasted and prayed about it, no matter how much you gave offering towards getting that job, if it will not let you fulfill your destiny, may you not get it. You are understanding the principle now. That's why he said, commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust in him. Do you understand my point? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Then God will direct your paths. And when the Bible says that he will make your path straight, like he said in my Bible, or direct your path in King James, it is not as if he will tell you, turn here, turn there. What he's just saying is that when you are trusting in God at all times, it makes making the right decisions come to you easily. Listen, grace is a power of God working towards you. Therefore, you must acknowledge God in all your ways. This is so important. Anything that you are doing, remember I was explaining, you must never give the title of God to anybody else. You don't give your society the title God. If they are pleased with me, then I will prosper. No. Prayer is a sign of your faith in God, that you have believed that only God can bless you. Let me emphasize this again. Your nation is not God. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. He said, but God is judge. He's the one that lifts up one and brings down another. My name is Daniel. Because, that is, I chose that name, Daniel, myself. Because I believe so strongly that it is God that will lift me up. Do you understand my point? See, it is to you according to your faith. If you reach out to God for something, you decide that it is God that will give me this thing, God will definitely move favor in your direction. Are you getting my point? If you go back to Proverbs chapter 3 that we're reading just now, if you read from verse 1, it said, My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. He explained many things. He said, if you follow my instructions, read verses 2 and 3. In verse 4, he says, this is what will happen to you. You will find favor and good repute in the sight of God, and then consequently in the sight of man. Now, I'm putting some words there to make it clear to understand. All right? Now, so if a man wants favor from the hands of God, that's what we're talking about. Next line, he says, he will trust in the Lord with all his heart. He will not lean on his own understanding. That is, he will not give the title God to any other thing apart from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who can bless any man in the midst of adversity? Get what I'm saying? Because I'm talking about powering your life by grace. You must know that wherever you are right now does not hinder God in any form from taking to another place tomorrow. Because you are not planning to get there by your strength. You are planning to get there by what? By grace. You understand that logic here? That is, the children of Israel got to the edge of the promised land. What happened to them? They saw giants. Those who didn't understand grace, they said that we are too small. The other ones who understood grace said, we know how small we are. But we are saying that if God is with us. Listen, sometimes when I'm talking about the nation, people think that I don't see the problems. I said I see the problems. There is nothing that has happened that you have seen that I have not yet seen. I am just saying that none of the events of this life, no president or senate president or governor or local government chairman is God. That's what I'm trying to say. That no party, none of them is God. That they are all instruments in the hands of God. That when God is ready to pour blessing upon us, we will get it. So what we spend our energy doing is connecting with God, waiting for his blessing to pour forth. Do you understand my point? Listen, if God does not bless you here, wherever you are going, you will become a slave there. Do you get my point? A man who is not blessed by God, that's relocating to get blessing, becomes a slave. There's no other way around it. That is why you must wake up to liberty in your spirit first. Then if God now says, okay, now that I have blessed you in your heart, now that you are free in your spirit, go anywhere you go, you will be blessed there. Do you understand my point? One of the things I confess about, you may say that, look, police is like this, Nigeria is like this, I confess all the time, I am far from oppression. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So if I decide today, according to the will of God, I move to a European country, the fact that I am black will not make me feel disadvantaged. Because I will look into the eyes of the white man and tell him, I am far from oppression. Are you getting my point? That I have been born in a place that God looks to with respect. It is called Zion. Are you getting my point? Listen, if in my own country I feel oppressed, you can be sure when I get to another man's country, who's of a different race, I will feel even more oppressed. Even if I don't want to acknowledge it, the fact is that oppression will be greater upon me. If anybody wants to oppress me in this country, I tell him boldly, oh boy, I am far from oppression. If you think you can oppress me, let me remind you that God said, vengeance is mine. And number two, I will avenge. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. Now that is the principle behind prayer. So everything I want to do in life, I discover my area of gifting. I pray about it. I said something a few weeks ago. I said I went somewhere and a craftsman was working on my equipment. That's a technician. And he used so much skill that I was impressed. And I asked myself, I said, where is it in life that I have this kind of skill that if I use it to bless people, they will be impressed, that their lives will be touched? Then I identified it. And instantly again, I prayed. Because that is the way prayer is. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Do you understand? Jesus said, men ought always to pray. The word is always and not faint. Instantly there, I bowed my head and I said, God, this is an area where you have given me skill. I dedicate myself to doing that well. And please, let the lives of men be blessed by that skill you have placed inside me. Pour grace upon my path. Are you getting my point? If you pray like that, listen to me, there is a walk that will come out of you automatically. When people say that, this thing is easier here, you say, listen, I have grace. You know what grace does? It overcomes obstacles. Listen, let me close my message. God wants to increase people and increase them mightily. He said, but it's not by your struggle, it's not by your labor. He said, just acknowledge me in all your ways and you will see my power walking towards you because you believe. Because the Bible says, it must be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. I hope you've learned something. All right.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.